Well, I talk about empathic leadership, and I believe in being compassionate to everybody around you. And so whether you talk about love explicitly or not, I think it's what you do to role model. So when you have the employee who has a death in their family, or has a loved one, a mother, father who's ill, or a young child they're caring for, I think it's in how you respond to them as a manager or in reverse that shows your humanity.
That is the voice of the fifth most powerful woman in the world, Melinda Gates, and we'll be hearing from her on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they
are
hard.
I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. You're hearing a lot from me this week. This is the third podcast we're doing, setting the bar too high. We're not going to achieve that every week. We're doing our best to get out as many as possible because you have requested that we do more podcasts. So we're doing our darndest, as they say. But this week's been a wild one. As you heard in the news, at least for me, it was shocking to hear that Bill and Melinda Gates will be getting divorced. And so today we had Melinda Gates in the pipeline. She's scheduled to go out in a couple weeks. But obviously we're going to move that forward because of the news and adjust it a little bit. But it's crazy. I've always, like all these successful people or what society deems successful or business success, however you put it, they seem to get divorced. I've almost thought about writing a book of, in order to be successful, you need to get divorced. And I'm wondering what it is. Is it just not enough time commitment? Is there too much travel? Is there too much stress? Does it require that much dedication for your craft, for your art? Who knows? I might dig into it, do some research on it, but this stuff fascinates me. But today we're going to have Melinda give us the inside scoop, give us her insights. And so thank you for joining us here today for this special edition of the Super You Podcast. Today's Super You Podcast is brought to you by Audible. That's right. You can listen to all of your favorite books. I believe Melinda has a book. Bill has a book. So go check it out. At least I think they do. So go check out their books and you can listen to them on Audible. You can listen to my book on Audible. I say to listen to mine on 1.5 times because sometimes speed, so it's faster. I personally sound a lot better when it's faster because sometimes I can get a little slow, as they say, when I speak. And so it allows you to listen to it at your speed. You can slow it down. You can speed it up to 2 times, but then I sound like a chipmunk. And anyways, Audible, go check it out. You can listen to your books while you work out in your car. It's awesome. It's the one time you can multitask because you're using different parts of your brain. You're listening while you're doing your car wash, while you're out there cleaning the house, whatever it might be, while you're out there running through the woods. But today we have Melinda Gates, and she's going to give us some insights, so enjoy. Melinda Gates is the fifth most powerful woman in the world. She's married to Bill Gates, and they announced on May 3rd their plan to divorce after being married for 27 years. And though they don't have a prenuptial agreement, if they split their $146 billion, that's right, billion with a B, fortune equally, Melinda would be worth $73 billion. It's going to be tough to unravel all that. They've got 3 kids. They obviously run the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation together. And she's helmed the virtually of her own for the first 6 years of the operation. She's now the co-chair of the foundation with Bill. And they say they're going to continue to work together on that, which might be awkward. It might not be. I mean, Bill still goes on a weekly trip with his former ex, not wife, but girlfriend. He has a annual trip that he goes with his ex-girlfriend. Now, maybe that's part of the reason for the divorce. Who knows? But anyways, it's going to be tough for them to unravel it all. But she said in the statement posted on Twitter that she and Bill will continue to believe the mission of the foundation and will continue their work there. Melinda Gates was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest civilian honor in the United States. And she was awarded that by President Barack Obama in 2016. But Melinda Gates was originally ni French, so Melinda Gates French grew up in Dallas, Texas with her parents, a stay-at-home mother and an aerospace engineer father, and she has 3 other siblings. The family belonged to the local Roman Catholic parish, and the Frenches were intent on sending all 4 of their children to college, so Melinda's father started a side business for rental properties, and Melinda said that they'd help him run the business and keep the books. So they saw the money coming in and they saw the money going out. And then in high school, Gates was the valedictorian and head of the drill team at our high school, which was the Ursuline Academy of Dallas. And then in 2007, the Gates Foundation actually donated $7 million to Ursuline for the construction of some of their buildings there. So anyways, so enough on our bio for now. We'll get into more of the history because a lot of you enjoy that. Where did they come from? How did they get where they are today? But before we get into the first insight, I would like to get a little more information about the divorce. And this is going to come from their oldest daughter. The oldest daughter is Jennifer Gates. She is 25 years old. And she shared that by now, many of you have heard the news that my parents are separating. It's been a challenging stretch of time for our whole family. And then she continues, I'm still learning how to best support my own process and emotions, as well as family members at this time. And I'm grateful for the space to do so. I won't personally comment further on anything around the separation, but please know that your kind words and support mean the world to me. Thank you for understanding our desire for privacy while we navigate the next phases of our lives, she concluded. Speaking of our next phases of our lives, we wanted to get some insights from Melinda Gates. So here's insight number one from a woman that is doing so much good out there, so much good globally to try to eradicate some of the stuff that's so difficult that are challenged with out there. And so here she is with insight number one.
My mother did not go to college. Her parents didn't believe in her going to college, so they put her in the workforce right after high school. She always wished she'd gotten a college degree. So when I was growing up, it was deeply embedded in my three siblings and I that we were going to college. And my parents, that was not going to be easy on an engineer's salary to put four children through college. And they were determined that we could go anywhere in the country that we could get into and that they were going to pay for it. We weren't going to go on financial aid or scholarships. So my parents set up a family business. They bought and rented out properties and then would sell some of them as the market increased. And as a young student in high school, I mowed lawns at these rental properties. I painted. I cleaned up after people left. So I learned what it was like to work hard. But my parents also invested early in a computer. They bought one of the Apple IIIs that were sold. There were only about 2,000 of them ever sold. We owned one. They still own it. It's in a closet somewhere. And my sister and I kept the books, and we learned what was then the spreadsheeting program, VisiCalc. I learned that thing inside and out. I could program the cells. I got interested in computers, and I understood the flows of money. So my parents also put us in high school. My sister and I, there's a big gap, two girls and then two boys. They put us in high school in Dallas, Texas, a Catholic high school, all girls Catholic high school. Wasn't the best high school in the city. And that was a little bit frustrating to me. So I knew I had to work really hard at this high school to get noticed by any college. But along the way, I met a math teacher. She was getting her PhD at night in computer science, single mom, raising three boys. And she saw that I was good in math, and she said, I'm going to make sure you always know you're good at math. And she helped guide my career through the hardest math subjects in high school. And my junior year of high school, she bought 10 computers, Apple IIs. She went to the head nun of the school and said, I want to get these Apple IIs. I want you to invest in them. She convinced the nun to invest in them. And we had 10 Apple IIs. And what she let us girls do was to get out ahead of her in computer programming. She taught us what she knew, and she let us run wild. That then turned into a summer job for me, where I was teaching kids both math, tutoring them, and how to program. And it led ultimately to a computer science degree at Duke, and ultimately to a career at Microsoft. And I tell you that because when you get into computer science, for those of you who have done it, and in engineering, as you know, it's a lot like a puzzle, except that there's not often a closed-end solution. There might be somewhere you're trying to go, but there are many possibilities to get there. And you have to have a lot of creativity, and you got to go through a lot of frustration, and you got to keep your curiosity up, and you got to believe in yourself when you're programming. And I went through college when there were very few women in computer science. After freshman year, basically none. I programmed with guys all through Duke, and I learned how to be good at managing teams. So when I got to Microsoft, I had to make sure that I remembered those skills. When things were tough for me at Microsoft, I loved it there. I worked there for 9 years. But when I would get unhappy a little bit because I would think, gosh, I have to be like somebody else, I have to manage like that person manages that team, I had to realize, no, I had to go back to who I was and manage in my style from what I'd learned in college about forming teams and moving forward.
Gates mentions her alma mater, Duke, where she was obviously a very good student, but she didn't deter her from her social life, where she's a member of Duke's Beta Rho chapter of Kappa Alpha Theta sorority. In an interview, a sorority sister remembered her as a serial monogamist and reserved dresser. But gosh, Duke, I know a lot of you hate Coach K, but you got to respect that guy. Over 1,000 wins, that's insane. And finally, fortunately, the last two times, Michigan State has finally gotten the better of Duke, even though they've been kicking our tail for many, many years. We even beat them with Zion Williamson. Wow, that guy is a freakishly large human being that can move a lot of agility for that big of a human being. But anyways, here we are moving on to tip number two, where Melinda gets into some of the challenges of the marriage, including abuse and then her fight for equality within the marriage itself.
The hardest pieces for me to write were the most private parts of the book. Moments in our marriage where I was asking Bill for more equality, or moments where I do talk about abuse that I went through. That was the hardest piece to write. But I felt like in being vulnerable, if I would share those stories, people would understand, you know, abuse, it can happen to absolutely anyone. And I travel the globe, and when I stay long enough in places, it comes out, whether I'm in Silicon Valley, whether I'm in Northern India, whether I'm in Senegal or Malawi, women talk to you about abuse. And one of the reasons it's important to write about that is because it silences women. It silenced my voice. It took away my self-confidence for years. And I wanted to know for women that we have to share our stories, and it's in that sharing that we can actually change society.
Dallas is just up the road from us here in Austin. Lovely city, lovely city, lovely people. But it's interesting, the Gates plan to only give their children, there's three Gates children, 25, I think 21 and 18, and it's girl, boy, girl. But they plan to give them $10 million each. So they're not going to inherit the mass fortune that's available to them, because the Gates strongly feel that they want them to have enough money to have the freedom of choice to do what they want to do, but they're still going to have to do something. And we hear that across the board from a lot of the mega rich, that they don't want to give all their fortunes to their kids because it's actually a disservice. Here we are with insight number three.
Well, I think it probably comes from the fact that I grew up in a very middle-class family in Dallas, Texas, and we were working very hard to have enough money to send the four of us kids to college. And we knew my dad's engineer salary wasn't going to pay for all of it. And so we had, they had a property, a real estate business, and we were cleaning ovens and cleaning out people's messes when they left over and running the finances. I kept the books. And I think growing up in that sort of middle-class family with this dream of going to college, you remember how important it is to get a great education. Like, my parents were determined I would get a good education, but it set my values. I mean, that and my parents sent me to an all-girls Catholic high school. I kind of wanted to go to a different all-girls school that was more academic, but that social justice grounding I got in high school, it just helped me really wrestle with my values early. And then I would say, lastly, having three children, you constantly have to be thinking, what am I teaching my children that I want them to live out in the world? And am I living my life that way by what I say and I do? And so it always, always, always goes back to your values. And so I don't see myself as any different than anybody else. I'm this young girl who grew up in a middle-class family in Dallas, Texas.
So you might be wondering how they met. How did Bill and Melinda meet? How'd you get from Dallas, Texas to Microsoft Seattle from Duke? So shortly after graduating from Duke, Gates was recruited by Microsoft just as the company went public and its stock began to soar. And during her time at the company, she served as project manager of Microsoft Bob, Microsoft Encarta, and Expedia. But then there's a company picnic. So at a company picnic, and Bill asked if she'd like to join him on a date in 2 weeks, and she turned him down because he wasn't spontaneous enough. Like, 2 weeks And so within an hour, he called her and asked, is this enough spontaneity for you? And the pair kept a low profile at work and asked colleagues and family members to respect their privacy. Now, a key time in their relationship was when they visited Africa, their first trip to Africa together in 1993. And during a walk on the beach in Zanzibar, they decided to do something about the devastation they'd seen. Thus, the Gates Foundation was born. Back to Melinda with insight number 4.
I think it really depends on what the culture of the company is that you work for. And I think that if you find yourself under a boss who's not supportive, you know, as fast as you can move under somebody else, I think the better off you're probably going to be, unless you can work with them. I also know other women who've talked to me who work at companies now, young women who are in their early 30s, who say, okay, I haven't had the most supportive boss in the environment I'm in, but if my colleagues and I get together, and not just a group of women, but men and women, to give that person feedback, and if they're open and they hear it from multiples of us, then sometimes they'll start to change. So I think, honestly, I think the burden is both on the corporation to change, or if it's government to change, and on the individual to say what's right for me and what is it that I want. But it goes both ways.
It goes both ways. It takes two to tango, and control what you can control. If you don't like something, change it. So here we are with insight number 5.
Well, I talk about empathic leadership, and I believe in being compassionate to everybody around you. And so whether you talk about love explicitly or not, I think it's what you do to role model. So when you have the employee who has a death in their family, or has a loved one, a mother, father who's ill, or a young child they're caring for, I think it's in how you respond to them as a manager or in reverse that shows your humanity. And people are basically, I think the best organizations are ones where people can show up as their full selves at home and at work, and that they don't have to hide parts of themselves. Now, it doesn't mean if you're going through something emotional at home that you want to bring all of that to work. You do have to manage your own emotions. But I think the more we let everybody be themselves, the more we will have empathic leadership. And to me, that ultimately is, when you reach out and connect with somebody over their humanity, that ultimately is love, whether you name it or not.
So true, so true. You got to be able to be your full self, whether that's at work, whether it's at home, you know, whether it's at the corporate softball picnic, whatever it might be. It's really about being your 100% you at all times. That's why we do the Super You podcast, to help you unlock and unleash that superpower, not just sporadically, but hopefully all the time. That's why there's really no such thing as work-life balance. It's work-life integration. So it'll be interesting to see as we get more information on the divorce itself is where did the integration break, or what caused the fissure, so to speak? What caused this? Well, that's a crazy word. I think that's right. What caused the things to break here? I mean, this stuff fascinates me because we all struggle with it. So it doesn't matter how many billions or sometimes trillions, it's soon going to be trillions people have in the bank. We all wrestle with the same kind of things day to day. And one of those is our relationships and how that integration works with whether it's a hobby, whether that's work. How do we kind of make sure all that stuff works in harmony? So here we are, moving on to insight number 6.
I met Meena in northern India, and she had just given birth to a beautiful little baby boy in a health facility that we had been part of supporting. And so I was at Meena's home with she and her husband and her two little boys, and she had this beautiful infant in her arms. And we were talking about her experience, which had been very positive, and we'd gone through all of that. And then, so near the end, I said to her, so what are your hopes and dreams for your sons? And she just looked down for a long time, and she went very sullen after we'd had this glorious conversation. And then she finally looked up at me and she said, the truth is, I have no hope for my son, none. And she said, my only hope would be is if you took him home with you. And all she knew was, you know, I'm there as a Western woman in a pair of khaki pants and a t-shirt, and she just knows that life will be better for her son. And she ended up saying, take both of them. She thought their lives would be better if I took them back to the United States. And It's heartbreaking to be in these situations and to see parents who are doing their absolute best, but because of their circumstances, can't feed and educate their kids. And I think that's something we can do something about as a world, and we should do something about it.
YouTube frontman once said about Melinda that Bono said that people like me and like Bill Gates, obviously, are enraged and we sweep ourselves into a fury at the wanton loss of lives. And what we need is a much slower pulse to help us be rational. And Melinda is that pulse. Here we are with insight number 7.
Yeah, so it was the last year of my MBA program, and I had had some summer internships for IBM. They'd made me a job offer, and I said, look, I am going to look at other places, and then I'll come let you know late spring of my MBA year whether I'm going to take this job. And so I turned down all my other offers, but I still had this callback from Microsoft to go do. So I came home on spring break, went through Dallas, which is where my hiring manager was. I grew up in Dallas. And she said, are you ready to accept the offer with IBM? And I said, actually, I have this one more company, little company, Microsoft. They'd just gone public in Seattle. And she said, do you want a piece of advice? And I said, sure. And she said, well, if they make you a job offer, you should take it. Mm-hmm. And she floored me. This is my hiring manager. Yeah. And I said, why? And she said, well, because your chance as a woman to advance would be meteoric. And so it sticks in my mind because we women have to be for other women, yeah, right? I mean, I see yeah. these young men graduating from college or going out in the community, and there's just these built-in networks mm-hmm. that lift them up and take them off and offer them jobs. Right. And so how do we open our networks and how do we be for everyone else? That was a fabulous piece of advice. Mm. And then I went to Microsoft when I interviewed. The salary they offered me was so much lower than the rest of the MBA school. And I said, look, I don't care. Mm. I love what this company is doing.
That's tip number 7 from Melinda Gates, and she's one of the most powerful women in the world, one of those powerful people in the world, taking head-on domestic issues, global issues, and they're just fighting through the Gates Foundation to do things that are great out there. So I hope you got a lot out of this episode. We're hopeful that everything works out for the Gates family. It's shocking to me and probably a lot of you that they're going to get a divorce. And what Gates said on the day I die, this is Melinda, I want people to think that I was a great mom and a great family member and a great friend. I care about that more than I care about anything else. Isn't that so true? Everything we're trying to do, all the achievements we're trying to make, I think almost all of us would iterate or repeat that sentence, that is our common goal. So thanks for joining me here today on the Super You Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Qualman. Most of you know me as Equalman. We want to thank our sponsor, Audible, for making it all possible. A special thanks to our amazing executive producers here at Equal Man Studios, Jake Brin and Savannah Pettinger. With a special thanks to Kelsey Gomez. Man, we're building an empire here, aren't we, here at Equal Man Studios. That's it for today's show. This is your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us until next time, it's not what we take from the world, it's what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.
Here's Tony Vanderpump.